Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Autumn time, harvest time, autumn time, harvest time, autumn time, harvest time, celebrate, contemplate, celebrate. Meditate, autumn time, harvest time. This is Selena Fox, and welcome to Nature Spirituality. We are exploring autumn time and autumn traditions tonight. This is the first of a series of Autumn Time and Harvest Time podcast. Thanks to all of you who are listening live on Circle Sanctuary's Internet Radio Network, CSNP, and thanks to all of you who are watching live on my main Facebook page, Selena Fox Update. Tonight, we explore autumn tradition. When does autumn start? Well, the official start of autumn is considered the autumnal equinox. However, there are a variety of different viewpoints on when autumn starts and when it begins culturally. Some people say that the meteorological beginning of autumn is actually today, September 1st. Some in the USA say it's Labor Day weekend that marks the end of the summer vacation time and the beginning of the autumn time. Some people determine autumn by what is happening environmentally around where they are. And this has to do with plant life and creature life, but also human life. And one of the things that's widespread across the ages and around the world is harvest being connected with autumn. And harvesting many different things. And the idea is to bring the harvest home. In fact, Harvest Home is the name of an autumn holiday, usually happening in late September and early October in the Northern Hemisphere. So I'd like to share with you some autumn traditions tonight. And one of those traditions is to connect with one or more of these autumnal times and to take time out to reflect and connect with the power of autumn and the change of the season. Now, not everyone has the four seasons here on planet Earth, and I celebrate the diversity and ecosystems and environments around the whole planet. I'm going to primarily be focused on autumn as one of four seasons in this series, and also not only talk about some old traditions, but some new ones. So let's begin with an autumnal meditation. As you call to mind the word autumn, let that be a focus for your meditation. What comes to mind as you silently focus on autumn? Autumn. 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 Call to mind your youth. What was autumn for you as you were a young child? As you aged, as you entered school, what is autumn for you now? How have you celebrated autumn in the past? What's an example connected with autumn you plan to do or that you may be doing now? Autumn. 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 So a good way to explore autumn tradition is to begin with your own personal experience. Not just now, but through your lifetime thus far, however many years you have been in this incarnation. Some call autumn back to school time, and certainly a sign of autumn coming. And I've seen this in August. Actually, some schools in the U.S., it's kindergarten through 12th grade or preschool through 12th grade. Some schools, public schools, and even some private schools begin their autumn term sometime in August. Some begin right after Labor Day or at the very beginning of September. The idea of school, the academic year, yes, that is part of autumn. And autumn is also a time for harvesting. If you grow a garden, or you do some indoor or on the patio container gardening, or if you are a farmer or do wildcrafting, certainly autumn is harvest time. And autumn is also a time for preparing for the coming winter. So it is a time of preparation for the coldest part of the year. There are a variety of special days that happen in autumn time here in the Northern Hemisphere. Labor Day in the USA is a holiday. It's now the first Monday in September. It's a holiday that honors those in the workforce. So we honor those who are part of work life. For others, Labor Day is a three-day weekend and a time of transition. I know that some people who have summer places or practices, that is the closure time for that. I've been many years pre-pandemic. My husband and I would go and vacation by the Atlantic Ocean. And we were in the height of the summertime in August. But there was a distinct shift in the numbers in late August, early September, not only with the back to school, but the weather itself starts changing. And we had witnessed a variety of rituals in that resort community and nearby communities. One that I thought was quite clever, and this is a place called Bethany Beach in Delaware. There, they actually had a New Orleans-style funeral for summer. Had trombones and the drums and all sorts of musical instruments, and actually had a depiction of summer in a coffin. But it was kind of a joyous funeral for those of you who had connections with the New Orleans place and healing to New Orleans in this beginning of September 2021. And lifeguards would be part of this conclusion this summer, and many of them were college students, so therefore they shifted from being a lifeguard in the summer off to back to academic studies. The first day of school is part of the back to school piece, and this can be really a fun time. It doesn't have to be a traumatic time. I know for young people, especially children who have been studying at home during the pandemic in 2020 and first part of 2021, as going back to school for some young people, that this is a whole change in how they're going to be. So how do you navigate this particular part of autumn? And certainly one thing that a number of therapists and other mental health professionals have found helpful is to actually do some rehearsals of going to school and having some separation. So part of what is amazing as we look at autumn and autumn traditions is not only some old traditions that have been around for a long time, but new ones that come up as the need arises. One of my favorite autumn times is the harvest moon. What is the harvest moon? But the full moon closest to the autumnal equinox. And Circle Sanctuary will be celebrating our full moon via the Circle Sanctuary YouTube channel. And our group gets together in Zoom and live streams it to the channel. So we will be focusing on harvest at this full moon time in 2021 on Monday night, September 20th. So we celebrate the harvest moon. And of course, there is the autumnal equinox, which is the official start of the beginning of autumn. The days and the nights are of equal length. And balancing dark and light is part of this holiday, having a harvest feast, a cornucopia full of fruits and vegetables, acorns, nuts, other produce, and things wildcrafted, another tradition connected with autumnal equinox. At Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve, for many years, we've done things with apples. Before the pandemic, we would be bringing in tons of apples, apples from our land, apples from orchards in nearby areas, and everybody brought apples, and we had an amazing blend of apples with our cider fest. So, autumnal equinox. I'll be doing an autumnal equinox ceremony in 2021, for it comes on a Wednesday night this year. Now, on and near the autumnal equinox, and the actual date of the equinox changes slightly, on or near September 21st in the Northern Hemisphere. Well, September 21st is the International Day of Peace, and it's a holiday that's observed at the United Nations and in other parts of the world. I think it's really a powerful time to be able to focus on the vision of peace. Peace on our planet, peace among humans, peace humans within the larger natural world of which we are a part. So, International Day of Peace, another time of autumn. And of course, it's spring equinox time in the Southern Hemisphere. As I grew up, October 12th was called Columbus Day, and we actually had that as a school holiday. Well, times have really changed, and that holiday has changed as more information about the colonization of what's known as the Americas has come to light, and some of the cruel and horrible practices that happened as people from Europe connected with different tribes and nations and peoples in the Americas. Circle Sanctuary puts out a calendar every year. We've chosen, like other individuals and organizations and communities, to have that holiday named Indigenous Peoples Day. And during that day, I endeavor to do some education for myself, and I endeavor to also do some education for others about Native America. And not just in what's now known as the United States, but across what's now known as the Americas. And there's more than 100 different tribes and nations of indigenous peoples in Canada, known as First Peoples or First Nations. And some people talk about indigenous peoples by different terms. But throughout the Americas, there were many, many different tribes, and there was no one American Indian group, no one Native American group, actually lots of different tribes. And I do see that having the transformation of Columbus Day to Indigenous Peoples Day is something that makes sense in these multicultural, international times where we're really looking for more equality, understanding, justice, and liberty for all on the planet. So we celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day as part of a way of connecting with autumn. And we also have in October some autumnal holidays. For me personally, my birthday on the 20th of October is something I celebrate, not only my life's journey and reflect over things in the past and take a look at the future, but one of my most favorite of the pagan sacred time, Samhain, happens in late October. Many people will celebrate it in the Northern Hemisphere on October 31st. I'm one of those people that celebrate Samhain throughout the month of October in various ways. I have preparing for Samhain. Our full moon time usually has some kind of Samhain theme, and this year it will be Ancestral Spirit Full Moon Circle, where we pay respects to ancestors and beloved dead. It's a time for looking ahead to the new year in a number of nature spirituality traditions, some Wiccan, Druid, pagan, pantheists, those involved in Celtic revival and reconstruction. There's a number of people who celebrate Samhain as Samhain. Looks like it should be pronounced, and I've heard it pronounced that way, as Samhain, S-A-M-H-A-I-N, but it's an old Celtic word, and some say it means summer's end. Samhain, Samhain, the harvest ends, new year begins. Samhain, Samhain, the harvest ends, new year begins. Yes, Samhain is the Celtic New Year. And for many of us pagans, it's awful, the pagan new year, the Wiccan new year, the Druidic new year. But with the grand diversity that is contemporary nature spirituality, not all traditions celebrate the new year at Samhain time. Some are more solar oriented and then it's Yuletide, and others are more attached to the spring and spring equinox. Whole another podcast and workshop about that. But Samhain, other holidays that happen around this time of year, and indeed in popular culture, some of the old traditions of Samhain and traditions from Mexico and some other places, the Day of the Dead and the Christian All Saints and Old Souls Day all feed into a now global, multicultural, multilingual, interreligious holiday known as Halloween. So for Samhain, Day of the Dead, All Saints, All Souls, Halloween, and New Year, whatever your path, if you celebrate it at this time. And one of the things that I find wonderful is that there are some common threads, even though these are distinctly different holidays, there are common threads, gathering with others, and the idea of paying respect to the dead. Now, in ancient Rome, pagan Rome, honoring the dead actually happened in May. But when Europe got Christianized, holiday time shifted because so many people in Europe were celebrating Samhain, whether they were Celtic or not. It's become such a widespread holiday, and similar holidays, maybe not Samhain, but there is a different name for it, that the holiday time got shifted. So All Saints Day, November 1st, is a day for honoring the saints, and it's observed in the Roman Catholic Church and some forms of what's known in the U.S. as Episcopal churches or Anglican in the U.K. and other parts of the Commonwealth. It is a time for honoring the saints, and on the 2nd, of November is All Souls Day. And so that's for the beloved dead. So the equivalent amongst those of us who celebrate Samhain is we have the mighty dead, our ancestors, teachers, others that have crossed over, whether we actually knew them or not, We honor their influences and our beloved dead, those who we have known in this life. We pay respect and honor them. In the Day of the Dead celebration, and this actually in many places goes across multiple days and nights, but one of the traditions is for the family to go to the family cemetery or the cemetery closest where their family members, and not only cleanse the gravestones, but to actually have a feast there. And I invite you to check out material by Laura Gonzalez, who's the Circle Sanctuary minister, who's Mexican-American, who has a lot of information about indigenous practices as well as some of the contemporary practices that blends the All Saints, All Souls Day with indigenous ways of honoring the dead that are now part of Day of the Dead, and some people call it Days of the Dead. In fact, she and I will be speaking about this time of year in various traditions at the Parliament of the World's Religions in October. And she'll be talking about Day of the Dead, and I'll be talking about Samhain. And we will compare and contrast the different ways of and customs and traditions and symbols for these holidays. But we'll also talk about Halloween in a secular sense and All Saints and All Souls Day and how some traditions from these older events have now found their way into these other holidays. So we celebrate that time of year. And let us also take a look in November. There is Veterans Day. And originally this was called Armistice Day, and it was connected with celebrating the peace following World War I. In the USA, it's called Veterans Day, and it's a time of honoring those who have served that are still living. But it's actually become more universalized, generalized, where in addition to honoring the living veterans, it's also honoring those who have crossed over. And I think that's part of the impact of Samhain happening right before all of that. So Veterans Day, another time of observance in the autumn. And this brings me now to American Thanksgiving, which is now the fourth Thursday of November. It has religious underpinnings as well as a variety of cultural underpinnings, and it's a secular holiday as well as a spiritual holiday, depending on the person or community that you talk with. It is a time for giving thanks for the abundance in nature, the bounty, and the cornucopia, which is an old pagan symbol known as the Horn of Plenty, with everlasting food, fruits and vegetables and other food, all of these Thanksgiving appreciation, not only for the bounty of nature that feeds us throughout the year, but also we give thanks for harvest blessings in our lives. Now, at Circle Sanctuary, we get to celebrate Thanksgiving twice. And those connected with us that are in Canada, there's a whole other day of celebrating Thanksgiving. So there are different Thanksgiving times depending on where you live. We celebrate our main harvest Thanksgiving celebration is in September at autumnal equinox. But we're a part of the USA. That's where our headquarters are. We do have people from all around the world that are connected with us. But we also have traditionally celebrated the Harvest Thanksgiving with other Americans on that fourth Thursday. In fact, in my own household, one of our traditions with American Thanksgiving is not only having a big feast with friends, we're usually going to dear friends' homes, and it's a potluck, we're all bringing food. During the pandemic, we've had to do that in our memories and imagination, but hopefully things will improve and we can start doing Thanksgiving in person again. It is a time of giving thanks and gathering with family and friends. But for us in our own household, as we conclude Thanksgiving and the day after Thanksgiving, we actually start our Yuletide preparation. So I want to give thanks for the Thanksgiving holiday as I again sound the bell and recognize that just as autumn has a time release dimension to it in terms of the special times and observances, that the same happens with the beginning of winter, the Yuletide, winter solstice, the Hogmanay, Santa Lucia's Day, St. Nicholas Day, that Christmas, Mother's Night, Epiphany's Night, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. As you can tell, this idea of seasonal holidays and having them take different forms over a period of time is something that actually is very much here and now, but has some of its roots in the ancient past as well. So as we take a look now at, and these are just some of the many holidays and observances that can be celebrated during autumn, let's take a look at some ways that you can create your own traditions for celebrating autumn. One of my favorite traditions is to change the decor at my home. And I've already begun that process. I typically have some kind of wheat weaving on the front door, and that goes away, and I bring out mullein stalks, and then a little later as autumn comes on and the pumpkins get ripe for picking, two pumpkins appear. We pick them out at a local farm market and put them on our doorstep as symbols of autumn. Another thing that is a tradition I enjoy is to look at the beauty of nature. For in these parts of the U.S., autumn is a color show. We already are starting to get colors on the leaves of various vegetation as it's dying back and the seeds are being released. We have some yellows, some browns, starting to get some reds and some oranges. And colors tend to peak in mid-October near the time when I celebrate my birthday. And yes, I enjoy the colors for weeks on end throughout the autumn season. Raking leaves, gathering acorns, having an autumn wreath that I put on the door. These are things that have been traditions for me for many years. And as I think back to my early days in this life, in addition to going back to school and all the excitement about some new learning and new ways of being connected with going back to school, I have enjoyed the shift in the weather, the cool breezes, the bright blue skies on a sunny day, the beauty of trees and herbs and the landscape going through its transformation. So driving around and looking at colors or walking around if you're in a place with a lot of good walkways to do that is another powerful way of celebrating autumn. I think a good way to develop your own autumn traditions is to begin with a reflection such as we did at the beginning of this workshop, which is focus on autumn. What is already very accessible in your own consciousness about autumn? What are some of your memories? What are some of your symbols and associations? I have many different types of symbols. I have one with me tonight, which is a cloth leaf. It's representing kind of an autumn spirit. It's has a little face in the center of this cloth, brown cloth leaf, with a little acorn on top as a hat. And this is something that I got as part of autumn celebrations, but I actually have it in a place in my home where I have all sorts of green faces. Well, in addition to green men, green women, green spirits, some of my foliage faces are actually from other times of the year, and this is one of my autumn ones. So being able to really reflect and connect with how you've celebrated in the past, and I think it can be really a powerful thing to, if you have a planner or a calendar, or you may want to just simply jot down in a notebook or on a computer file, the different points within the autumn season that you would like to celebrate, and make a list of traditions you already have connected with them, symbols you already have connected with them. The next step in this process is take a look at your own ancestral connections. What did you learn about growing up within your own family system or in the neighborhood or in the community where you live? What are some autumn traditions and symbols there? Which ones do you want to continue and incorporate into your own? And another thing that I invite you to do is some research and go back into your ancestral past. Now, I have a multitude of different ancestral threads in my tapestry itself, and some from Native America and some from old Europe and different parts of the USA. And I have found it helpful, not just for autumn as I look to celebrate autumn, but in celebrating the seasons, to pick one of those strands and to do some research into it. As I look into my English heritage, the harvest home holiday, yes, it's made its way into the horror fiction genre. It's not only novel, but in terms of a movie. But before that, harvest home, bringing the harvest home, was something that was done in communities way long before the so-called Industrial Revolution started happening. And there are still communities that do this to this day. I live in a part of Wisconsin, southwestern Wisconsin, known as the Driftless area. And one of the communities that is here is in Mineral Point, and people from Wales and some other Celtic parts of the UK settled there, and there's been festivals, and I learned about a harvest tradition known as crying the neck. And you would go out, the whole community was out harvesting, and in this case, it's bringing in some grain, and the very last sheaf of grain that was being harvested, as it was harvested, the cry would go out, crying the neck. And that last sheaf of grain was turned into a symbol of the harvest and used in processions and parades as a symbol of that vegetative spirit. Now, those who settled Mineral Point, Wisconsin, wouldn't necessarily call themselves pagans per se, but those old Celtic folkways have persisted in that community. In fact, pre-pandemic times and festivals, they have connected with Druid traditions or the Druid dimension of wisdom and the arts, and being part of society has continued on more in an academic pursuit in that community rather than a pagan religious pursuit. But being able to keep alive some old harvest customs. Another custom connected with bringing the harvest home would be to pile all of the harvest in carts and to literally bring them into the home and have a big harvest feast, to have a harvest revel. And sometimes harvest revels lasted multiple days and nights. And some of these old traditions are being kept alive. A number of people connected with different Wiccan, Druid, Nordic, and other pagan paths are keeping alive some of the old traditions. So you may look into folklore and folkways as you research your own ancestral traditions. And you may find traditions that not only have been around for 100 years or more, but perhaps much longer. Some of these old folkways are set down. Some of the poetry and incantations and invocations and music has been set down. But one of the wonderful things about folk life is you're not only preserving the old, but you're keeping alive the tradition of adapting them for the here and now and creating new things. So I invite you not only to create a calendar, autumn observances, and make a note of what you've done already, but to add to it and to have some means of being able to set down what you do for autumn tradition. A wonderful way of doing this that I've done in recent years is using social media, in particular Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. I will have some photographs of harvest altars I'm creating, working with various harvest chants that I've created, harvest rituals, and one of the wonderful things now that we are in the cyber age is that a number of people are now sharing their autumn rituals, their autumn chants, their autumn meditations for one or more of these autumnal observances. What are some other things you can do as part of an autumn tradition? I really do think if you take nothing else from our time together, is to make time to go out into a natural environment. It could be a park in an urban area or a suburban area or a small town. If you can actually get into a rural area to actually experience autumn and the landscape, and certainly it's taking a walk, taking a drive, and not just doing it once, but perhaps once weekly to actually watch the season, autumn, come on and its changes. Now, you might be in an area where you don't get much vegetative change. It might be subtropical or tropical. There, your way of observing autumn happening is taking a look at what's happening with the amount of sunlight. And yes, those of us here in the temperate zone have a lot of really dramatic changes. And as you get to the poles, it's really dramatic as to what happens. Where does the sun rise on the horizon? Where does it set? Some people find it really helpful to do a daily observance of the rising of the sun or the setting of the sun or both, which is something I like to do. And it really helps you connect with the cycles of the sun, with the seasons. I also invite you to consider celebrating the harvest moon. Whether you tune in to the YouTube live stream of our harvest full moon circle this month or not, hopefully, and you know, the full moon is full technically on one day, but I see it's an orb of at least 3 days. So hopefully you will not have cloud cover and you'll be able to see the bright moon at harvest time and to get out and just experience the harvest moon, no matter where you live. Get a good view of it, attune to harvest moon. Why is it called the harvest moon? Well, before electricity came upon the scene, having a moon shining very bright helped harvesting at night. And I know, living in a farming area in this part of southwestern Wisconsin, that even though there are now electric headlights on the tractors that are doing the harvesting, that harvesting can happen day and night, especially driven by different climate situations and weather conditions. And so being able to connect with the harvest moon, whether you do any harvesting or not, can be a wonderful experience. What are colors that you associate with the harvest? And what are colors you associate with autumn? And there is a whole spectrum. But unlike Beltane, where the colors may be pastel and very vibrant, joyful, spring is blooming kind of colors, you have deeper reds, maroons, you have the oranges, a whole spectrum of them, yellow. Goldenrod is not only the name of a plant that is blooming right now at Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve, but in many places, it's also a name of a color, and a beautiful color of yellow. And, of course, being able to look at the colors of apples, the green apples and the red apples, and looking at the wide range of colors of autumnal flowers and some of the deep purples and blues of asters and hickory, chicory, not hickory, variety of different, and lobelia is another beautiful purple flower. We have a restored prairie at Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve, and one of the wonderful things is to be able to go out and see autumn come on in the prairie. We have a tall grass prairie, so what is most dominant is huge bits of tall grasses, and we collect seeds and do a whole seeding tradition, not only to help sustain our restored prairie, but we're expanding our restored prairie. So being able to look at colors, if you are able to do some kind of harvest, that can be a lot of fun. It can take the form of going to a farm market or even a local grocery and hunting and gathering some fresh produce. But what I think is really wonderful is if you have your own gardens, to go out and develop your own harvest traditions with that, or go to a place at many orchards, go pick your own apples. And so there's a variety of ways that you can do harvest activities, even if you may not be actually having gardens and fields to harvest yourself. Now, a number of symbols that people associate with this time of year, the scythe, the sickle, for harvesting. Also, scarecrows at our welcome fall gatherings in the past, we've actually crafted some iconic scarecrow is to use as part of a harvest altar. And scarecrows can take a variety of different forms, and why were they created? Putting these humanoid shapes out into fields to help scare off crows and other creatures that might want to take the harvest is really where that comes from. But now they become iconic. The cornucopia is another really powerful image. Baskets with apples, baskets with nuts and gourds and fruits and vegetables. Being able to have some local produce as part of your decorations, or there are a number of imitation pumpkins and apples that can last for weeks and weeks without refrigeration. And I have a combination. I use actual pumpkins that we pick from a farm market, which lays out the pumpkins in rows and rows and hundreds of pumpkins. So my husband and I go and we do pumpkin picking, not actually into a field where they're growing, actually going into a place where they've been placed. And that's always been a fun piece. But I've also picked pumpkins that have been growing as well, and that can be wonderful. A little more labor intensive to get the pumpkins if you want them of similar size, which is something that we tend to do. You can take some corn stalks, and some craft places actually sell corn stalks, some hobby stores and whatever. You can make corn stalks and use them as a decoration in your home. And certainly as Halloween comes around, well, because Halloween has taken a lot of its inspiration and symbology from old Samhain practices, there's lots of things available for decoration. Some additional things to consider as a harvest tradition is to actually take time out during the harvest time, during the autumn time, and reflect on what things you appreciate, what abundance is in your life. And even if you don't feel especially prosperous or even especially grateful, being able to call to mind some things that you appreciate, that you're thankful for, can really give yourself a boost, as well as be a wonderful harvest and autumn tradition. Something that I recommend doing in October as Samhain comes closer is to reflect not only on those loved ones that you've known who have died in the past year, but to actually collect a photograph or an artifact from them that you can use on an ancestor altar at Samhain time. Do some journaling, and if you have really deep grief and it's been going on for a long time, October is a good month to go connect with a therapist and be able to get some help in processing that grief. We actually have had, as part of our Samhain observances pre-pandemic at a certain sanctuary, nature preserve, in our temple room where I am now, we have tables around our huge temple room draped in black cloth, and on these tables, we set up small altars honoring beloved dead and ancestors. And so we have several hundred people all with their altars, and it's really an amazing community altars of the beloved dead and ancestors process. And on our Samhain night, our main night of our Samhain festival is a Saturday night. We take a bit of the food and beverages that are served in our big feast, and we have them on a spirit plate and in a spirit cup. And we have a separate altar for that. We invite our beloved dead and our ancestors to dine with us. We honor them. The following day, Sunday morning, we have our own version of doing work at cemetery. We sweep our cemetery gravestone layer of the leaves that invariably come down, because by that time in Wisconsin, it's getting cold. The colors have gone. It's pretty much brown leaves coming down. And a number of us bring brooms, and we do ritual sweeping of all the grave markers, gravestones in our cemetery, in our burying ground, as well as in our original part of the cemetery, which is where cremains are buried. And we also do an honoring out in our restored prairie, and one of our traditions has been to release ashes into our restored prairie of beloved pets or beloved loved ones if they've requested that. And we have a lot of things connected with honoring the dead, and these traditions have evolved over time. Samhain is also a time for looking for the coming year, and we have a big bonfire and we'll gaze into the fire, but we also do some divination work, often with oracle cards, tarot cards. We actually get a variety of decks, and then people can take the card they draw from one of the cauldrons home with them as a remembrance of their guidance for the new year and as their connection with community and the holiday. Some of us do scrying and mirrors, dark mirrors, looking glasses, as a way of connecting with the dead. Some do other types of ceremonial actions in community and on their own. And of course, trick-or-treating happens, and that is a beloved tradition. And I celebrated Halloween with trick-or-treating and dressing up from the earliest part of my life. And while I was raised in the Southern Baptist, we celebrated Halloween, and it was not considered a problem. Now, not everybody's embracing Halloween traditions. I see Halloween as a time for people of all ages and traditions to be able to get together and have some fun and going door to door. And we're still in pandemic, so virtually a lot of trick-or-treating has been happening online instead of the pre-pandemic ways. But, you know, traditions can be adaptable. And I do think one thing that the pandemic has been teaching us thus far is how traditions themselves can be helpful anchoring points, even seeing that our world and our schedule and our life has been upended. Keeping alive some tradition with one or more autumn holidays can be healing and therapeutic. It brings some consistency into our lives, and it's a way that we can connect with others. So many different ways to celebrate autumn, and I'd like to conclude with a Harvest Thanksgiving chant that I created for you at our Welcome Fall Festival, and we used it in our Autumn Equinox ceremonies. I've used it personally as well as in household ceremonies as well as for our community ceremonies. We give thanks for the harvest. We give thanks for abundance. We give thanks for the blessings in our lives through the year. And as we speak this, we usually sing it, and I will do the singing version in a few moments. One of our traditions has been to take a symbol of nature's bounty, to be something from your own garden or something you've gotten from the grocery or a farm market, and to put it in a gigantic cornucopia as a symbol, as an offering of Thanksgiving. And after the ritual, those offerings are returned to the earth in the center of our stone circle. That's one of the places we often do that as a symbol of our Thanksgiving, returning to nature some of the bounty of the harvest. We give thanks for the harvest. We give thanks for abundance. We give thanks for the blessings in our lives through the year. We give thanks for the harvest. We give thanks for abundance. We give thanks for the blessings in our lives through the year. We give thanks for the harvest. We give thanks for abundance. We give thanks for the blessings in our lives through the year. Thank you all who have listened and tuned in live, and all of you who will be tuning in later. Yes, I will keep the Facebook live stream up at my Selena Fox update, my main Facebook page, and the link to our podcast, the audio version, also will continue to be archived at that link. And we have more information about upcoming podcasts that I and others will be doing up at the Circle Sanctuary website, circlesanctuary.org. Go to CSNC. And for all of you on Facebook, if you haven't done so, go to CSN Podcast, like and follow our page, because updates on the various podcasts that I'm doing and others are doing and the links are all there. I hope you all have a wonderful autumn and that you will keep alive some old traditions, adapt some traditions, and create some new traditions as part of celebrating the Wheel of the Year and this wonderful greater circle of nature of which we are all part. Thanks to the CSNT podcasting team, David and Jeanette Ewing, Circle Sanctuary ministers from Northern Virginia who do engineering and management of our network, to Laura Gonzalez of Chicago, to Deborah Rose of Kentucky, to Casey and Jules, who also help with social media. Thanks to all of you for your support. And more information about Circle Sanctuary, you can find us on the web, circlesanctuary.org. You can find us on Facebook, our main page, Circle Sanctuary Community. And you can find us on Twitter and Instagram and, yes, YouTube. We have a lot of material about our online autumn celebrations from last year up at the Circle Sanctuary YouTube channel. Many blessings, and may we all enjoy our connections in cyberspace and in inner space. And when we are safely able to do so, face to face. Happy autumn.
Down the candle road, the light will lead you deep into your core. Move into the center, add your sorrow to the cold, with the incense rising steady as a prayer. Though the heart is heavy, heavy as the dance is burning down. May you raise your eyes and never bow your head. We are not alone. It only takes the tiniest of fires sometimes to light the way you knew was always there.
There.
In the heart of matters, it's the journey keeps us warm, the lights that lead us where we are to go. May you raise your eyes and know with every step we are not alone. We rising, steady as a prayer, steady as a prayer. Candles waving down. We all come to the labyrinth tonight, walking one by one. In the dark of sour, our riddle burning bright, and the candles.
Thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.